Okay. All right, folks. After our long conversation, because Marcel and I hadn't talked on the phone in like over a week, so we tend to do that part of the conversation before we actually do the podcast. So all that we have left, and that we're calling it a day, is our review of Zack Snyder's Justice League. All right. Now, we usually, when we talk about movies that we both watch that we're going to review at the same time, we have like a one out of five. You've had some time to think about it, your decision, which I think was paced. So I'm giving you an opportunity to just give it a second thought. On a
I
scale
give it
of
a
one to five,
4.8 like I
what
did
do you give
before.
it?
I'm going to double down on it because the movie to me gave everybody a great story. And everybody, all the characters were a part of it. And that's what I love. But then again, it was 4 hours long. And when you have 4 hours of movie, you can do that. But the heart of the movie, as this one reviewer wrote, was Cyborg. And I didn't expect. He was the heart and soul of that movie. You know, not necessarily the centerpiece, but the heart of it was him and his struggle to overcome being a machine, or at least 90% machine. And I liked the way Superman came back this time as opposed to last time with the "Do you bleed?" I thought that was just corny as fuck. I liked the way he came back. I liked how Steppenwolf looked. He looked much better this time than he did last time. The CGI would seem to be better. The fight scene seemed to be better. And the movie, for all intents and purposes, made sense. I got it. It was a cohesive movie from beginning to end. And it didn't feel like 4 hours, man. I'm sitting there like, oh, it's over? God damn, I didn't feel like 4 hours at all to me. I loved it. I'm glad that they did it. And I hope the studio learns that sometimes you need to just let a guy do what he does and not fuck with it. He made this, he gave the DCE universe a second shot with this cut of this movie. There's an it has life now, real life. I do. I believe that there's a
You
chance.
believe that?
Now, will they fuck it up? Don't know.
Okay.
But there's life now. There's a chance now.
Oh, they.
Because he put everything in place, and you don't even need Flashpoint really to reset everything. This movie kind of reset everything because of how cohesive it was, how everybody's actions were explained, how every it just, and they even gave Darkseid's motive for what he wants to do. So people are like, "What's a Darkseid?" Now you know who Darkseid is, and I thought it was fantastic. Now you, I don't think, loved it as much as I do, but go ahead.
I absolutely did not love it. I give it
You
a
bastard,
two and a
why?
half. Oh God, I'm gonna get into the why, but let's stay on your love fest just a little bit. I'm just gonna tell you things I liked about it first. Now, the movie should not be 4 hours. It didn't need to be. But I did appreciate the added action. The action that he shot was much
Yes.
better than the action Whedon shot. I mean, Whedon's was I liked that it was rated R because the way the tone of everything is, it kind of needed to be. I don't know. It just I appreciated that. I kind of liked that part, but that's doesn't really make a that's just something I liked. I liked that there was more Cyborg. I liked that there was more everybody. It kind of gave a lot a this felt more like explained characters. I'm gonna stay on the good, so I'm just gonna talk about the good because I'm gonna tear this movie apart. I really liked
Yeah,
Warrior.
you
You
did.
saw
Yeah.
more of a Warrior Wonder Woman in this one. I really liked that. She was like, she was badass, cutting heads off, killed all the dudes in the bank because Whedon's fucking cut was like, you know, we thought they were there to rob the place and kill some people, but their whole reasons.
Yeah, they just wanted to burn it up. They just wanted to destroy it.
Completely new. I mean, well, you know, that's a totally different narrative than what Whedon did. I liked her. The action sequence was really good. Her entry into the story, I thought it was pretty badass. Cool. The way you know, saw her blocking the bullets and shit, and then she was just killing dudes left and right with with her blocks and shit. I liked it a lot. I liked her action. I like that this version of the Flash. He's not a fucking wimp. He's been a Flash. He's been saving people because that was the whole dilemma. I just push people. That always annoyed me about the original. He goes, what can I do? I just push people and run away. I was like, I remember thinking Flash is way more powerful than that. I mean, yes, if you want to really chop it up crudely. Yeah, he technically does that, but this guy can run, he can go back in time. He can do all kinds of shit, but to make him seem like a wimp and that just moves fast, I'd never liked. I like that he's been saving people a while. You know, he was already the Flash when Bruce came to him. So, I like that. I like a thing I really like.
Yeah, I didn't like. I didn't like the taking out
that we'd put in.
I'm with you on that.
I like that even though the 4:3 is a stupid thing when you're putting your movie on TV, because the 4:3 ratio was not widescreen. It's a 4:3 ratio is for
IMAX. Yeah, I know it's
OmniMax. What is it? What am I thinking? IMAX. But other than that, it looked really good. He did a lot better color correction than fucking Whedon did. Everything is an orange, but it is beautifully shot, and the visual was good enough to where after a while you just totally forget about the 4:3 ratio. That I hate it, but I'm glad that it was just well shot. It looked great.
Go ahead, I'm waiting.
Okay. This movie is the same movie, the same house. It's the same house. They just put walls, and they just rearranged how the inside is. You get to the same destination, the story just has fucking problems. It's just, there's too many little dumb things that the movie does. Like, I know it's a signature of Snyder to do slow-mo, but he does it in all his movies, all of them. Watchmen has it, 300 has it, Sucker Punch has it. That's his thing. Even Dawn of the Dead has it. But he puts it in nonsensical places where you don't need it. It's like, oh, I see why this movie's 4 hours, because we got about 20 minutes of slow-mo.
Okay, I caught me off guard. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry, I wasn't ready for that.
I mean, I like the fact that this movie does too many things. I mean, he wants to appeal to a broad audience, but it's doing way too many things that are just super. I mean, okay, how many people, unless they look at the fucking how many people realize that girl he meets at the they made such a big deal about him meeting Iris. Now she's Iris. I know she's Iris. The average person that wanted to watch this movie has no idea. It's just some chick. So why put so much emphasis on him saving her and them staring at each other? And even, I forget the actress's name, because we're never going to see her again. I mean, for people who don't know, that's becomes the Flash's wife eventually. And, but why even have that scene? That entire scene didn't need to be there other than show how, you know, with him moving her around, and that it was just, it was unneeded. Or the scene where, how weird, or we have to watch 2 minutes of Batman going to find Aquaman. Okay, so he goes there. What's up with the Norwegian girl just singing out of the blue, and then the other girl sniffing his musk on his sweater? Why is this weird scene here? It is like, there's a lot of those scenes. It's like, now some scenes actually connect the dots. They're mostly, this movie is mostly comprised of, it's mostly deleted scenes, extended scenes, and rearranged edits of scenes. And then anything that, you know, and anything that, Whedon shot is just removed completely, which I agree with, except for one thing. I did like the fact that when they resurrect Superman, by the way, folks, we're going to go all over the place. I'm, you know, with this movie, we're not going to go through it beat by beat, but when they resurrect Superman and he's, you know, he's wigging out, and there's a scene that Whedon put in, and like, what are we going to do if he, you know, if he wants to fight us? Right. And then Batman, because he's always 10 steps ahead, he's like, well, I got a plan in case that happens. And his plan in Whedon's version was that, you know, he had Lois. Lois was going
right.
to calm him down, and that's, you know, that's what happened. Instead, you know, Snyder has her just because she goes to the same place every day to give coffee to one of the cops there.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
I thought that was just a little too convenient.
I get it.
It was just, I mean, I get why he take out Whedon stuff, because the way Whedon got in, I didn't realize that. I did some reading because, you know, all this stuff is up in the news again. Whedon's we already know he's been Me Too because he's done some fucking shady shit. Ray Fisher, the guy who plays Cyborg, he's tight with Snyder. Those two are tight. And when it looked like, you know, because, you know, Snyder left because his daughter killed herself, and
is that what happened?
He tried to come back and work, and he realized, I can't do this.
I didn't. That's too bad.
Yeah, you didn't know that. Yes. His daughter was, him and his wife, his daughter was his oldest daughter. I guess he has a couple daughters. She was 20. She was, she went, had a lot of bouts of depression. She killed herself. He, of course, left the production. The production kind of stopped. And he was like, after a couple of months, he came back. And he was like, I need to bury myself in work. I need to distract myself. And but he was already fighting with the studio. The studio was like fighting him on every move. And there was actually a clause in the contract that some studio head had to be there to oversee every decision he's making. So he's fighting with the studio. Halfway, you know, before his daughter dies, they hired Joss Whedon to do some script work, because he was still working with Marvel at the time. And he had finished working with Marvel. He had just did the second Avengers movie, Age of Ultron. And which, don't let me forget about that, because there's a line he took from Age of Ultron and directly wrote it into his version of word from word, pretty much. In Whedon's cut of God damn it, Justice League. Anyway, so they hired Whedon to work on his, you know, on the script, and then in his absence, Whedon just kind of like, well, why not just direct this? And they're like, yeah. And then when Snyder came back, it was pretty much you can bow out or we can fire you. So he bowed out, but he took his top that had an assembly cut, this cut, obviously just without special effects and all that stuff, but this cut on his laptop. So he took that and they did, Whedon's thing. It failed. and everyone, you know, was mad at him, and they, you know, Whedon made the made his cut, and then the studio asked if they have it, and he's like, no. If you know, the, over the negotiations, they agreed on $70 million to touch up what he shot. Now he shot 30 extra minutes for this movie because his cut was 4 hours, but he wanted to round stuff up because they're supposedly not doing a second one. Mm-hmm. He said he was out of the superhero business after this, and or at least working with the, you know, DC people and or Paramount. I lost my train of thought. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, the after the movie came out, you know, so now the movie's out and it's his vision, I guess. But I'm rambling, but let me just go on with my list of what I have problems with it. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I mentioned too much, all the side stories that go nowhere, like the Icelandic people. What is up with, okay, there's a lot of shots where they're just jerk-off shots. There's shots of like, when you're a director, you're like, oh, that would be so cool to see. I'm going to make it. It doesn't really fit anything, but I'm going to do it. Like Aquaman walking out to, I think, Tom Waits or something into the ocean. He throws the bottle down. It was used in the trailer, but never a Whedon's cut of the movie, but it was used in Zach's version. And he throws, he's drinking, and he throws down the bottle, and it goes in, you know, it's a storm, and he just
goes just into cool the to look water.
That cool has nothing to do with anything. And why would he break the bottle and throw it in the ocean? That's his home. What is he
speaking
doing?
Of that, I want to ask you a question that's really stupid, but I heard it on this TV show. Where did the Atlanteans go to the bathroom? Yeah. I mean, do they just shit and pee right in their own living rooms and it just floats away? Is there shit and pee floating in their house? I mean, what happens to it? Where do they go?
Maybe they have like a toilet, like we do, except they do like that air bubble thing. And then
I don't know. When I heard that question, I was like, maybe. Holy shit, that is a great question. What do they do?
Never.
I don't either. But I'm sorry, I just wanted to lighten
the mood
with that breaking the bottle thing. And then you said in his house, and then I thought about it. I was like, well, I guess that's the same thing. Shit in your house and just breaking bottles in your house. It's both the same thing. I don't know.
Oh, one thing I liked. It was,
yes, you did.
Granny Goodness. You got to see Granny Goodness and actually see Darkseid.
That was cool.
You know,
Granny Goodness.
That was kind of cool.
That was so cool.
But it's just this. But the movie, it just is not. It's just there's just it doesn't really do anything new. It's just a lot of scenes that you don't need, a couple that you do, and it's prettier to look at. That's not 4 hours of my life. I mean, I had to watch it.
Yeah, I was like, you can't watch it straight.
Watching it during the work week. Yeah, so I watched that, you know, well, half of it, and then caught the other half the following day. But it's just
Age of Ultron.
It's just okay. Remember the scene where in Whedon's cut where he's talking to Batman, and Batman, he's like, he's scared, he doesn't know what to do, and Batman's like, just
save that Russian family, which
I'm glad they're cut out.
Family that for no reason was in there. Yeah, I remember.
You got the Flash pushing a car. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, he goes, just save one person. You save one person, and you save one person. That's all I ask you to do. You do that, and you're you know, you belong in the Justice League. Now in Age of Ultron, Hawkeye is talking to Wanda, and Wanda is like cowering down in the house or in some area of what's getting blown up, and she's like, I don't know what to do. He's like, all you have to do is try and save one person. He says, you step out this door. Oh my God, an Avenger. Just focus on, just work on, just, Whedon wrote both.
You're right. I remember that now. Yeah. You save one person. Yeah, that's all you need to worry about. And you're an Avenger. Just save one person.
He played.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah.
Can you actually?
He plagiarized himself. I don't know. That's what I mean.
Could you
the same writer?
I don't know. That's hilarious to me to even think about that. That's hilarious to think about, though.
Essentially, I guess Marvel could make it to DC, but the same guy did both things. So
I don't think there's anything you could do about it.
You know what I mean?
But I liked it. I just thought that it was, and I liked the fact that they brought back Jared Leto. Because I liked his Joker. I thought his Joker was so different from everybody else's take that it belongs in the long, great line of Jokers. Like the guys, like the two Jokers from Gotham belong in that too. Okay. And he belonged in this because he was a true psychopath. I mean, he had no feelings for anybody. You know, the Joker Heath Ledger played was an anarchist. He was different. Leto made a different Joker, completely different from anything we've ever seen, and people didn't like him, and I don't know why. I liked his difference. I liked the fact that he was brand new.
We've talked about this before, and what I say is, what do you expect him to do? It's been done so many times, and well, so many times. So what do you expect him to do? He's had a totally different take, and I didn't have a problem with it either. But I had a problem with that epilogue. Why do we need a half-hour epilogue? And why do we need an epilogue? And that entire scene is only a setup
because they didn't tell you that Joker stole something.
We are not getting
that can fix all of this that Batman needs. And he's not going to, for some reason, he's not telling Batman where it is for some reason. They never told you that part of it. I watched a video on it and they said that the Joker has a piece of technology that can fix everything. And Batman needs it, which is the only reason why he's tolerating the Joker and this Batman hadn't killed him yet.
And they all know about the multiverse. So, because he goes, how many times are we going to do this until you grow up, pretty much. Okay, you can look this up. It's going to sound crazy, but you can look this up if you don't believe me. Snyder had planned four Justice
How
League
could
movies.
You do... Wow, okay.
I think four or five.
Okay.
Let me get it all out before you have your... Before you have your questions, because this is fucking crazy. I thought it was crazy when I heard it. I looked it up. It is all true. So, over the course, what that post-apocalyptic scene or possible future is something that was supposed to be Justice League 2. So, those are the survivors, you know. So, you know, Deadshot. No,
Deathstroke.
No, that's he's not Deadshot. That's Deathstroke. Thank you. And Batman, Cyborg,
the Flash, and Mira.
What's her name? Amber Heard. Mira. And they're fighting. They're trying to, you know, kill Superman. And over the course of these four movies, this is, remember the Joker said, he goes, I like this. I like the. The delivery, the way Affleck delivered it. He's like, you know, when we get what we need to do.
Yeah, I like
and
that
when
too.
I kill you. Oh, and I'm going to fucking kill you. I was like, man,
he's not the Batman we grew up with, dude. He's like, shit. I'm going to kill you. You understand that, right?
and he's like, it's almost like he's answering himself. Oh, and I will fucking kill you. And remember, Joker goes, well, who's
I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Goes,
oh, my God.
You a reach around.
No, I don't. I didn't get. I didn't know why
he
said it.
You know why he
says
that?
Oh, no.
Because at one point, I don't know if it's going to be in the second movie, but it was in this four movies. So I guess this scene is movie three or movie four. Who knows? He said he had four movies planned. But it's not going to happen. Right. But then again, never say never because they said this wasn't going to happen. And money talks. So, Batman goes to visit the Joker about something. Joker had orchestrated something that made it look like he was trying to escape, but he was actually trying to draw Batman in. Batman is now locked in there, not the Joker locked out. Or Joker's not, he's locked in there with them. Joker has something set up to where Batman is overwhelmed.
No.
While he's held down, he is
stop.
I swear to God, if I'm lying, I'm dying. All right, let me get it out. He rapes Batman, and over the course of these movies, Batman and be in the while Superman's gone, Batman and
yes, now that I heard about. Yeah, that was part
Lois
of it.
Lois have a thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You heard she gets pregnant. It's Bruce's baby. I forget what. I don't know what the situation is. I just know the outcome that Bruce has a choice to either sacrifice himself or let
that's why
Martha die. And he keeps letting Martha die. And that's why Superman is holding those ashes in that scenario that vision that Cyborg saw. Those ashes. That's and then Darkseid puts his hand on his Superman's shoulder.
No, I know, but Joker also
that
said,
was Lois.
And when are you going to have the balls to just die instead of letting everyone else? That's why he said that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a little deeper than I thought because I was like, I only know that he didn't let Jason Todd die, but he kind of did in a way, I guess, by not killing the Joker. And I thought that's what he was talking about. I didn't know that he was talking about Martha and Lois, that Batman could have died and saved them, but chose to save himself. Wow. I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. That changes that whole speech. I'm going to watch it again after we close up. That changes the demeanor of the whole speech. Also, did you notice when the Manhunter visited Lois in her apartment, she had a pregnancy test in her drawer? That, you know, I was thinking Superboy.
Right.
But now I'm thinking that's Bruce's kid she's testing for. Oh, man. This next one would have been cold as shit if they make it. Oh, man. I'd be first in line to see this one. That's a lot of story to work with. That's a lot of shit to work with. I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, man. Yeah. Jesus, that's a lot to dive into.
So anyway, why in the fuck is Martian Manhunter in this movie? Why? other than to say we have Martian Manhunter in this movie because the way he is shoehorned in is ridiculous. It makes no sense. Why would he meet Lois and say that little speech if he's not getting involved? Because the whole time I saw that, it's like, okay, we're going to see him again, especially since his powers, he's not as strong as
in this universe, you're right. Absolutely. He's the closest thing to whooping Superman. He can hold his own. He can't win.
Yeah.
But he can slow him down quite a bit. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, this is good. We're going to see that happen. Never see him again until the very end where he introduces himself. So you mean to tell me after they fix everything, you're willing to say, all right, let's you know, he's basically giving him the Samuel yes. Jackson at the end yeah. of the movie. Your world is bigger yeah. now. You know, now you're.
God, good call.
He's basically giving him that too. Speech yeah, to Batman at the end. So I was like, why didn't you get involved then? It's reminded me of how stupid. That's why I hate, as much as I defend Star Wars, I will jump on any bandwagon that's panning the Rise of Skywalker because that movie sucks. There's a scene where Force ghosts react to physical matter. I was like, so you guys just watched everyone get slaughtered? You could have helped. So is that what Martian Manhunter's saying? Oh, so you knew what was going on because you were interacting with everybody, but you didn't come help when they needed it. When it was down to the Flash having to go back in time, I had to explain that. I got an argument, not an argument, but a debate with someone. Someone's like, well, why didn't you just get Flash and reverse everything if he's going to reverse the mother box? But I hate to, he doesn't have the cosmic treadmill yet.
That is, but I just know that he can't do it yet. I don't know why, but I don't think he understands his powers yet, you know, completely.
He doesn't because he
No, hasn't, I said understand. I understand yeah, that. Well, he hasn't figured no, he out hasn't. Everything he that no. he can do because there are iterations of the Flash yeah. in the comics, like I've said before, that can run across the universe one into the other in 12 days. You know, he actually is, with his speed,
yeah,
more powerful in a lot of ways than Superman because he can be literally everywhere at once.
Absolutely.
That's how powerful he is, but this Barry Allen is kind of goofy and he's really nice. And I don't think he would really think to do that, you know, because on the JLA, the animated series, when Luthor took over his body, you could start to see how powerful he was because couldn't nobody get him off that ship, out of the tower. He was so powerful. Couldn't nobody get him out. So him reversing everything, I was like, no, not yet. He's still new to this. You got to give him time to figure out what he can do. Because he was still talking about not breaking rules, for God's sake.
Well, he also said, yeah. you know, if he goes super fast, time gets a little wonky. So, you know, if you work hard if you just work hard to tell a good story, I'll excuse fuzzy science. Right. You know, but if you can make me get on board, I can get on board. But this is something that was in the Whedon cut, and I was hoping that Snyder fixed it, but no, he made the same dumb, stupid, fucking retarded mistake that it just takes me right out of the movie. Okay. Superman's ship is where it was, where it crashed. They didn't, you know, it crashed there. They built a facility around it because they're trying to understand this alien tech.
Yeah.
Why? Well, even if it's not,
I know,
because they don't know of the Fortress Solitude. They just know about the ship. But you know, I'm willing to. That's fine. But what is fucking stupid is why would Superman be buried in a regular grave? They know of this. They knew he was a Superman. Why is he?
But wasn't Clark Kent buried in a regular grave? Not Superman.
An alien. They.
Or did they know they were one and the same?
They both died.
I'll roll with you that they should have known, but I don't know.
They had to know.
I'll say they had to. But I don't see how you could correlate a beat writer from a newspaper to basically God, and both are missing. I don't see how you make that connection unless Lois or Martha says, yeah, Clark was Superman.
How could you not know? Superman died. Hey, the guy that kind of looks like Superman, he's not here. Clark, where's Clark? Oh, Clark's dead. God, come on. You know what? I totally think it's stupid, okay. But let's say that they don't know. That's fine. Why, when they're digging him up?
Yes.
They've already established that Darkseid is coming.
we have to get you guys all on the same page because time is of the essence. Yes. We don't have weeks. We don't have months. Mm-hmm. We have days. We have to figure this out. You have two guys that could get Superman's grave out in seconds. Seconds. But no, we're going to have Wonder Woman and Aquaman have a philosophical conversation while they wait for the two fastest men in their group to dig something out with their hands. And they have a hot conversation about how hot Wonder Woman is or how old Wonder Woman is. Get the entire fuck out of here. That is stupid writing.
I understand. I think it's a little nitpicky, stupid, but I get it.
Writing. I get it. It pulls me. You see Marvel doing dumb shit like that? And tell me if it's nitpicky
no,
then.
No, you don't.
You see them making these same stupid mistakes? You don't. You don't. And guess what? If you catch one, they fucking correct it in the next movie.
We compare Marvel to DC like somebody comparing Muhammad Ali to Mike Tyson in a lot of ways, where we know Marvel's better. We know Marvel's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But DC has some pretty powerful moments too, and they're not this. I think this cut for me kind of makes up for some of the bad, dumb shit they've done. Yeah, they had some bad moments in this, as most movies do, with the exception of a lot of Marvel stuff. Marvel's been really fortunate that they've hit the nail on the head every time they swing the hammer, except for Thor 2. Every time they swing the goddamn hammer, they come flush down on that nail head. Every time. And I'm like, this can't continue. You're not this good. It's like a guy who makes 100 straight free throws. Odds are you're going to miss now. And the Marvel, it's like, odds are you're going to fuck up again. I don't know when it's going to be, but you're going to fuck up again. You can't keep this up. And I think DC's gotten their fuck ups out of the way. I hope they've learned from them. And I hope that they can find a way to put Zack Snyder in charge of the universe and go from there. But I don't know if they will, because like you said, money talks. I don't know. I just thought that this movie made up for a lot of failings, you know.
Well, like, okay, I hate Justice League. League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't hate it. It's fine. Am I going to go out and own this and add it to my collection of movies?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
if it's on TV, and so I know you will, but you like but I'm not. I don't like Justice League. When everyone came out, I was like, man, fuck that movie. And now I'm like, well, this movie, you know, it's okay. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's fine. I don't think it needs to be 4 hours. Will I sit and revisit this in 4 hours?
That's too long. It'll
be 4 hours again. No. Is there a scene or two I like that I watch again, like Wonder Woman's thing some of the action scenes towards the end, which he made it a lot more cohesive. I like the My Man stuff was a little more subtle with Aqua Bro than Whedon's version. Oh, that's another thing I was gonna say. Whedon's a piece of shit. Man, it is so obvious that Whedon's cut was because everyone hated Whedon got there. He was, you know, hired after Zach was fired off the movie. So, you know, everybody liked Zach. Everybody there. They didn't have a problem with him. The crew and the cast. But Whedon got, you know, so you're coming to someone's set where everyone loves the director and he's leaving because of a tragedy and you're the guy that just kind of took the job from under him. You got to be met with a little bit of hostility. So you're going to want to like send out an olive branch because you have to work with these people to be creative, which is a little
hard. It's collaborative. You can't do it alone.
So his, exactly. But his attitude was, I'm the boss. Mm. I'm the boss. Fuck you.
Yep.
Pretty much. And Ray was one of the few people that gave him pushback. I guess Gal Gadot backed up Ray Fisher, saying, "Yeah, I had an issue with she had an issue with Whedon, and then she talked to their bosses, and then Whedon didn't have a problem with her anymore, and she didn't have a problem with him anymore. He just, if it wasn't about business, he was out of her face." So, but I think the reason Ray, you know, but he could get to Ray, so he was like, "I'm just going to cut him out." You know, because I guess before, the reason they fired Zach is because he turned in a 3.5-hour cut and said, "This is the cut I want. This is the cut that makes sense." And then, you know, when his daughter killed herself and he left and then came back, and then he's like, you know, he figured he'd bury himself in his work. But since his, you know, since it's a kind of a real struggle at home, and then you come to work and you had a fight with your studio every day, that's when he was like, "All right, I'm done. Yeah. You can give it to Josh because that's what you want to do anyway." And so they told Josh, "We want this story compressed." I mean, I'll give him a little bit of leeway because they want him to compress this whole story in 2 hours. I mean, just to get everybody introduced, you need more than 2 hours. I mean, you don't need four, but you definitely need more than two.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it at like 2 hours and 5 minutes or something. So that's why it's so disjointed. It doesn't really jive well. But when Zach got this, God damn it, I almost forgot where I was going again with this fucking.
You're getting old, son. You're getting old.
God damn it, I forgot my. I lost my goddamn point. God damn it.
Yes, you do.
These goddamn tangents. I have a point, and then I Josh lose Whedon, the point.
Piece of shit. there it is.
Oh, yeah. So all the cuts with Ray Fisher were totally personal. So when Ray was going off about how Josh sucks because he just basically cut him out of the movie, I mean, all those scenes, only new stuff Ray said, he said Zach said he reshot all of Ray's scenes because they were shot, all the ones that were shot with Whedon were shot poorly, which was probably on purpose so he could cut him out of it.
No, he didn't. But
because he had no arc at all. And then you find out not only has he has an arc like some of the other characters, or at least three, because they really go deep on the three. Because Wonder Woman already had a movie and Superman already had a movie, and Batman, you know, Batman's Batman. Yeah, so they only went deep on three, but he said only part he shot was like the
you're calling Josh Whedon a piece of shit because of his inability to get along with the actors in a collaborative way, and you're saying that Ray Fisher, who was pretty pissed off about being cut out of basically the movie. And I remember him saying that he was never going to play Cyborg again. There it is.
Oh, that's right. That was my point. I'm sorry. So yeah, the reason he's kind of in movie jail is, or at least with Paramount, is because not what he said about Joss Whedon, it's because what he said about Joss Whedon, because Joss Whedon's their boss, the studio head, he kind of co-signed everything Joss wanted because that was the director. So they took away the Cyborg movie, which probably was going to happen anyway. But and they cut him out. They're not putting him in because it was the Flash was going to be kind of a buddy thing between him and Flashpoint was going to, you know, going to have heavily have Cyborg in it. But he's not in it now. And it's because of all the shit he said about the studio. I mean, if he kept it just about Joss, it would have been fine. But he started talking about the studio, so I think that's why they kind of cut him out, and that's why he won't be back in any more DC stuff. But you know, he's buddies with Zach, so if Zach brings him back, if they bring Zach back, he'll be back.
I just didn't realize how important Cyborg was to the movie. You know, by that first cut, it's like that first. Now that I watched the Zack Snyder cut, I realize how jumbled the first one was and how incoherent it really was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just, one minute it's dark, next minute they're joking, then it's dark, then they're joking, and it's like, I don't know. And Henry Cavill's fake mustache, they CGI'd over. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at here? This is awful. You guys haven't done anything right in this movie. Nothing. And I, maybe that's why I'm so high on this one, because this is what I expected more than anything, was something along the lines of what the Zack Snyder's cut turned out to be. I expected this. I expect to see Darkseid. I expect to see Granny Goodness. You know, which to me was the best part. I actually expected to see Big Barda and Mr. Miracle, to be honest. I expect at least to hear their names. I was a little disappointed that I didn't hear their names, but I got to see Granny Goodness, and goddamn it, Ed Asner is still alive. Hurry up and make a Granny Goodness movie with Ed Asner as the voice. Hurry before he dies. The man's on death's door. Hurry, please.
You know who I thought would make a good Granny Goodness? I don't know why, but when I saw, I forget what movie it was or what show it was. Oh, it was that one that Ana DuVernay did with Chris Pine.
Chris
and
Pine?
The little mixed girl.
Let's see.
No, yeah, he played the mixed girl's father. Ana DuVernay directed it, but there's a scene where Oprah's in it. And her hair is all white and kind of puffy. And I was like,
Wrinkle in Time?
Would make a great Granny Goodness. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Oprah has a...
I see it. Yeah, she does.
Eloise was watching on TV once.
And I was like, God, she really does.
She looks like Granny Goodness. When I saw that, I was like...
She's got straight white hair. Damn. It's like, and it's kind of frizzy. And she's right in this weird costume. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Granny Goodness. Oh my God, that's who I would put in this. But thing is, I would want her to look just like this.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Granny Goodness.
And Granny Goodness is kind of, Granny Goodness is kind of olive color anyway, so she could be black or white. Who knows? Or she's a new god, so she's not.
But
she
sounds so much like your grandmother. But she's like Granny.
Oh, she
wants you to be good now. It's like. You're terrifying, Granny.
Oh, she's fucking terrible. She's fucking.
Oh God, yeah.
And she's super powerful.
She decided to fight on one of the Justice League animated episodes, and I was like, "Oh man, no wonder why the Valkyries are afraid of her." Like, she kicks ass.
And it's like having, it's like. Well, yeah, she fights alongside Darkseid. He's no joke. Who people just let people know, Darkseid is not a Thanos.
Yeah, he's a Darkseid ripoff. It's the other way around. Darkseid ripoff. Yeah, I mean, it's like is what is it? Hawkeye and Green Arrow. I can't remember who came first, but one of them's a ripoff of the other one. You know. Yes,
I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like that's
Green
a ripoff.
Older. I could be wrong.
Lobo's a ripoff of Wolverine. Straight up ripoff of Wolverine. They were actually making fun of Wolverine when they made Lobo. They did not expect Lobo to catch on. And I'm like, but you gave the voice a job to Brad Garrett.
And Image had, what did Image have? Image had like, they had the Pit, which was just the Hulk. And they had.
Did they?
They had a character that was a ripoff of Lobo. That.
Yes, he's the one that's as powerful as Superman.
Lobo is DC, right?
Smidge more powerful than Superman. Lobo had his head lopped off and regenerated. I mean, he's nigh unkillable for the most part. I mean, he doesn't die, and you can't kill him. And he's not afraid of Superman,
which
if you notice, like in the movie, which I thought was interesting, is the mother boxes were afraid of Superman. That's why they didn't transmit. And I was like, what? They're afraid of him.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that this Superman was like Superboy Prime that powerful. They were afraid of him. That's impressive. I didn't put that together until after the movie was. I was like, why would they be afraid of him? Oh shit, he must be more powerful than he's letting on in this movie. You know, because he whooped Steppenwolf like he was a child. Like he was a child.
Oh yeah. And I like how they just I like how they just beat the fuck out of him. I mean, Superman burned his horn off and ground him, pound him, and then Wonder Woman final just, like, cuts his head off. Here's one more out, for you. Like, yeah, and take that with
and
me.
And I'm like, wow.
Like, see, I like those moments, but there's like not said, enough of those moments for it, me to call it, good.
It cleared up the first one. It's just not enough. It just made me erase the first one, which I'll probably never ever watch again unless I want to see something terrible. It set up the future of DC if they want it pretty well, because like you said, the next one is going to have to be, how do we, you know, stop Superman, because he's Darkseid. I think in this next one was supposed to get the anti-life equation, take over Superman's mind, and make him believe that Bruce killed Lois, and that he goes nuts and takes over everything. And then how do you stop a god? How do you stop two gods? You don't. And then I think the third one could easily be Brainiac, and that could easily be a two-parter, if depending on how much of a badass you write Brainiac as.
Oh yeah,
easily be two parts. And then the fifth one, who knows what it could be, but that could easily be the next three. So they set up those pretty well to me, and I loved it.
Well, it's I did not. it doesn't seem like they're going to do this, though. Snyder says he's out. Studio says they're calling this. They said the Snyder's cut is not in continuity with what they plan on doing.
A one-off.
And they called his movie. They said it is a DC cul-de-sac.
Well, it depends on how much money it makes. Depends on how many people one-off. Liked it. Whether or not they hold the right, like women do, to change their minds. And had to be sexist and go there? Yes, I did. Yes, I
had to go there, didn't you? And on that, folks, we're going to go. I am getting, obviously, with my lapse in conversation focus, I am ready for bed. And
2:22.
We're 2 hours in, over 2 hours. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So, peace. Folks, we'll see you next week. Hello, just a pre-show announcement. Marcel and I were doing a podcast to talk about Justice League, but we literally hadn't talked the week before, at least over the phone. So we ended up talking, which ended up being part of the show for a good, almost 3 hours. So we talked a good hour and a half before we even got to the our review of Justice League. So I split the show into two episodes. So right now you're gonna hear just the review of Justice League. We just both kind of talk about, he liked it, I didn't, and we kind of talk about it. And then next week you'll hear the first half of that conversation, which is about an hour and 45 minutes. So we just had diarrhea of the mouth yesterday. So you're just going to get the review of Justice League. And then next week it's more of a regular show where we kind of talk about a bunch of different stuff. We just kind of go all over the place. So thanks for listening, and on with the show.